Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mr. Speaker Speaks. You know, it's the podcast that challenges the mind, that inspires, and also is very informative. And today, we have a great guest, a friend of mine. You know, when you're traveling and you're all about, you never know who you're going to run into. You never know who you're going to meet. That's why I do believe it says, he that wants to have friends must first show himself friendly. And with that, he was friendly, I was friendly, and we had a great conversation. And I'm talking about the one, the only, Azariah. And today we're going to be talking, and he's going to be sharing about his book entitled Journey. My journey back to me. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today on this episode of Mr. Speaker Speaks. Real quick, you know, I just want to give a shout out to the world's greatest webmaster, Sirius Web Solutions. Your success is our success. If you need web service, website development, graphic design, web hosting, please give my friend Kia a call at 850-597-1707. That's 850-597-1707. Also, if you want to be inspired and motivated periodically so you can pivot into your purpose with power and precision, why don't you join my exclusive Motivation Made Easy community? All you have to do is text the word INSPIRE to 850-290-0066. That's text the word INSPIRE to 850-290-0066. Or you can just scan the QR code on your screen. INSPIRE will pop up and you just send that text message and then follow the prompts on the screen and you will be inspired. I'm not going to inundate you with text messages and videos every day. No, periodically it's once a week, and then there may be a time I may go 3 weeks in a row and skip a week, you know, but it's periodic to give you some inspiration and to help you pivot into your purpose with power and precision. But like always here on Mr. Speaker Speaks, we'll open up with a quick prayer and I'll share an inspirational scripture and introduce my guest, and we will move into this very, I do believe, thought-provoking conversation on today. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the life that you have given us and allowed us to live. And I thank you for connecting me with my brother so that we can inspire and share and strengthen one another, because you said iron sharpens iron. And so now, Father, I ask that you open up the ears of my listening audience, all of those who will hear this broadcast today, God. Let them hear something that will benefit them and help them to change their lives and they can pour back into the lives of others. So I ask that you, Holy Spirit, take control of this podcast today and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An inspiration passage of scripture I like to share today comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 4:23. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I love it. For out of it are the issues of life. And so today, on today's podcast, we have the privilege of sitting down with an extraordinary guest, author, speaker, and storyteller, Azariah. He is the author of the powerful book, My Journey Back to Me, a deeply personal and transparent account of rediscovering identity, healing from the past, and reclaiming one's true self. Azariah's story is not just about survival, it's about transformation. In his book, he takes readers through the highs and lows of life, exposing the moments of struggle, the search for purpose, and the breakthroughs that led him to a place of freedom and authenticity. What makes Azariah's journey so impactful is that it speaks to all of us. At some point in life, we've all wrestled with the question of identity, belonging, and self-worth. His story reminds us that no matter how far we may drift from who we are, it is always possible to find our way back. So whether you're in a season of searching, struggling, or simply striving to live more authentically, you're going to be inspired by today's conversation. Welcome, the author of My Journey Back to Me, Azariah. How you doing, my brother? And welcome to Mr. Speaker Speaks.
I'm excellent. How are you, Pastor Edwards? It's good to be here.
I am doing fine, man. It's finally great to be here. And I just want to thank you publicly for allowing me to reschedule this interview a couple times due to illness. And so, and also allowing it to be broadcast or taped a little bit earlier. So I really appreciate that. So before we really dive into the book, can you just introduce yourself from your point of view to my listening audience and share a little bit about who you are today?
Well, I am Azariah. I always give honor to my mother and my father who are late. And I was raised with both mother and father. And I am the sixth child of eight children. I'm a cognitive therapist. I guess an author at this point. I write books, so I don't know if I'm an author or not, but my background is civil engineering. I just live on a ranch and basically mind my own business and look at life the way I think it was intended, and that is to look at it naturally. And I kind of wrote about it, and I'm here by God's special grace.
All right. So the title of your book, it's powerful. It gets people to thinking. And I want you to talk about what does that phrase, my journey back to me, what does it mean to you personally? I mean, when we look at it, my journey back to me, what does that phrase mean to you?
Well, it's an interesting question the way you phrase it, because the very first word of that title is mine. And it was an experience that I had back in early 2023. It was an experience. I guess that's the best way that I can describe it. It was an experience that I had, but it was beyond this realm. Not really weird, but kind of weird, but kind of cool. Kind of interesting. And I made some discoveries from that. And so when I talk about my journey, it was actually my, it didn't have anything to do with anyone else but me. That's why it was my journey back to me. And but I just decided to share it with a few people and just to share my experience. And it was a real one. It was life-changing, changed my perspective on so many things. And so yeah, I'm glad here to just share it.
All right. So, what were some of the defining moments in your early life that shaped the man you are today?
Well, my eldest son crossed over in 2000 and one, December 2001. And it kind of reshaped me in terms of how I see death now. And that was pretty much pivotal to who and what and where I am tonight and in my life. And yes, that was probably the single most life-changing experience that I've ever experienced.
What did you
Definitely.
learn from?
Well, I learned that when he crossed over, that I discovered that there was nothing else for him to fulfill. A moment after he crossed over, it was just completely all part of his plan. And that experience that I had taught me that everything that we go through in this life is all part of a journey and an agreement that we had. I was at a place called, well, I'll let the readers read about that, but I was at a place, and that particular place that I was, I found out that it was our home. It's like who we are in our ethereal realm, if you will. It's like, in a sense, your spirit, your soul. without the physical body. It's like that was our house. And we brought ourselves here and decided that we wanted to be here on earth. And the moment we conceived that thought, we were in a very dark place instantly, literally in a dark place. And that dark place was your earthly mother's womb. And that was a trip just to discover that everything that you conceive in your entire life was, everything was wrapped up in that one thought, and you carried it out in this realm of the earth. And so
that's interesting insight. And so I know we don't want to pull too much out of it. We want them to get it. But here's the thing here. At what point in your life did you realize or come to that, you know, that place and say, hey, I've lost touch with myself and I need to start this journey back? You know, it's like, okay, I'm here, but something clicked. I need to go back. When did you realize that?
Well, actually, that right there, I realized that I was given something. Something was introduced to me, and it was a thing called Christianity. And I realized that, like, for example, reading the Bible from the lens of Christianity, once I realized that, I had to shift myself and start reading it for myself. Because prior to someone introducing Christianity to me, I had me. I had my 0 degrees, if you will. That means that I was a child, thought as a child, that sort of thing. And then when you introduce to me as a child the things that you believe or think, or you're persuaded, and you give that to me, basically at that young, vulnerable age, I have no other choice but to embrace it. And so I started reading the Bible through the lens of Christianity. And once I took those lens off, which was about 2019, once I took the lens of Christianity off as I'm searching the scriptures, I discovered that it was my own culture, my people's culture, and our customs, our traditions, our laws, our statutes, our commandments. It was us. It was all us. And I would no longer attribute that to a foreign people, but to discover that those people are actually my people.
And so you talked about your son, but was there another event or something else that happened that inspired you to write this book?
No, just the occurrence that I had, that vision, whatever it was, that's what caused me to write about it.
Okay. So to me, you know, from a biblical perspective, when you talk about that experience, it reminds me of the Apostle Paul when he was talking about, I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body, but I experienced this. That's what I'm hearing you say. But in this book, and the way and the perspective you wrote it, and the things that you talk about, and it's all you, it's about nobody else. What was the hardest part for you in putting your story on paper? Because that caused you to open up and to be vulnerable.
Yeah, it did. Initially, I wanted to just share it with my children and my family members. That's what my interest was, and just to share it with them. And so I wrote a little about it, and I just kept writing, and it took form of a very, very short book. And so it was the experience itself that gave me the energy to write. And I would find myself early in the morning as my thoughts were fresh, and it became a book.
And how did you decide what to include and what to exclude from your story?
Well, that's a good question. I wasn't very intentional in terms of of what to exclude. It was more about how would I tell this story in story form? And I remember as much as I could remember. But then I also started realizing that I was writing about my life, and I was writing about why I'm here. What brought me here? What was my purpose? Where did I come from? That sort of thing. So it wasn't just my experience there. It's how it helped me to see my purpose for this life, being here. And what I used to think, that God brought me here and I was fulfilling the purpose of God. And I discovered I was fulfilling my own purpose, my own desire to come here.
And, you know, for some people that are listening to this, they may find that statement there a bit controversial. And so that's why I'm going to ask them to go and get the book, because you and I have had some conversations, and we could be here for a couple of hours. But I'll leave that statement there and allow those who you say, well, wait a minute, that's a little, I don't know. I advise you to get the book so that you will see it through his lens. And so different themes or lessons surface throughout the book, but which are the ones that kept surfacing as you reflected on your journey? And then at the same time, how do you define your true identity now compared to how you defined it earlier in your life? So what are the central things that you kept reflecting on? Say, oh, okay, I got to write this down. And there was just like this synergistic effect, is like overlapping themes, but there were some central ones. But then how do you define your identity now?
Well, I see myself as a custodian of nature. I see myself, since the experience and since the book, as being one who is shedding things that don't belong. I don't live by the word belief. I overstand the word and the concept of belief, the word itself. And I live by a standard of nature, which is the only way that I'll ever know God on this earth, is through nature. I've never met God. So, you know, when people say they want to introduce me to God, my thought now is, well, how do you introduce me to a God that you don't know yourself? And, you know, I understand people saying that they know God. The only way that I know God is through nature, and that's the unchanging God, like nature. I don't worship nature or get up and start worshiping the sun. I don't get deep and spooky like that. But I do recognize life to be more literal than what people will call spiritual. I was already a spiritual being. I was already completely spiritual. When I came to the earth, I took on earth form and came to a fifth dimensional, a third dimensional realm. And I had to be aligned with that particular physical realm. Hence, I'm in the physical world. When I was spiritual, I decided I wanted to be here on earth. And there I was, to fulfill my dreams and my fantasies. And
so how do you define, you know, your identity now compared to earlier in your life? I mean, because you've had this experience. So how are you different now?
Well, it's more of an awareness. You know, I've always been who I've been. But once I started shedding things that don't belong, I don't really redefine myself exactly. You know, if I was going to answer that biblically, I would say that I know that I'm not a Christian. I know that I'm an Israelite, and because in my observation, being a Christian is not what's working for our people. So I'm able to see life as it really is, rather than me trying to support a thing that I don't see standing on its own merit. If something or somebody is claiming to be of a divine nature, then it has to support itself. I shouldn't have to believe it in order for it to have efficacy. I should not have to trust it in order for it to hold up. It should hold on its own merit. I don't take anything away from anybody else's belief system or how they define themselves. I'm a falling creature of the Most High God to the earth, and now I'm trying to work things out. I've got my career, all that stuff is on point, but I illustrate in the book that we are actually in hell now. I know people are looking forward to
that's an interesting concept very controversial there, I would say, because if, you know, looking at it from a biblical perspective, most people would say that is a place of a future state, whereas you say that it is here and now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're gonna use a biblical context to this, hell. What I say is hell is a state of being of unrest. It's a state of unrest a man cannot change. And it's like everybody's complaining about all the things within them. They can't pray it away. You know, they can't wish it away. They can't hope it away. They can't believe it away. And if you don't like it and you can't change it, that's hell. A hellish condition is just that. But I illustrate it as being a swimming pool. It's like you may be in 2 feet of water, and someone else is in 2,000 feet of water, and the individual in 2 feet is you know, boasting about, hey man, I'm not where you are, and you know, it's not all that bad here, you know. And there's some people who don't realize they're in hell at all because their life is so, you know, on point. But you're still in the pool, whether it's 2 feet or 2,000, you're still in the pool. And from a biblical context, Isaiah chapter 5 is interesting. Because it talks about in verse number, I think it's 14, that it talks about hell hath enlarged herself, and the herself is a carrier. So when you carry hell, you carry it everywhere you go. And hell is literally become a man, according to the script. That's in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. And so, if you go to the verse just above verse number 14 of Isaiah 5, you'll see that it's the captivity of the Israelites, because all we wanted to do was, you know, listen to a bunch of, you know, loud music, run women, and drink. And that caused us to come into a place where we weren't on par with the nature of God, and our decision were taken from us. But and then we found ourselves straying away from the order of Moses, and we found ourselves under hellish conditions from one captivity to the next. So verse number 13 talks about hell for the most part being captivity, and we don't recognize that because we don't recognize us as the people of the book.
And so an interesting point I'd like to throw out here, man, and time is just going by. here's the thing. You said earlier, you know, you're not a Christian, yet you just quoted from the book that Christians use. So how do you do that and not be a Christian? And how has faith influenced your journey back to yourself?
Well, the Bible is a book of history. It's our history. Our meaning, who people call us African Americans, as carbon people. It's our history, it's our customs. Again, it's our traditions. It's our values. It's our mistakes. It's our achievements. It's our quest for survival on this earth. It tells about our story. So it was never meant to be a religious book, or it was never intended to be a Christian book. It's just that our book is scattered around the four corners of the earth, of the earth, if you will, and people pick it up and they read it and they've turned it into a religion. They've turned it into everybody else's story. But I see the Bible as an exclusive book for an exclusive people. So reading that is just like reading my brother or my ancient sister way back in the day, and I'm referencing them in the story, and I can see myself in there. So no, it's not a Christian book at all. It's our story.
Okay. And, you know, and I can go back to there and say, you know, it's about believers. It has historical context. And it is a historical book as well. And I also see it as a prophetic book. And then with that being said, you know, Christians, they were first called that in Antioch. So that came along the scenes earlier. And so that phrase, because a lot of people today say they're Christians, but they don't live by what's actually in the book. And I go deeper than that and say that, are they believers? And we talked about this earlier, about this book. It wasn't really written for other people, just a few. But from those who have read it, what type of feedback have you received from them? And has it touched you in any form or fashion?
It's always encouraging to hear feedback from your work that you do and your story that you tell, from those, not just in America, but for those people also in Akubulan. All of the feedback was exactly the same. They loved it. They were inspired. They want to share it with people. And they said not only was it inspirational and thought-provoking, but it caused many of them to really look at life from a different perspective. I don't want them to see it necessarily from my perspective. I'm just sharing my perspective with them. I'm giving them the story. It's kind of like take your pencil and your paper and draw your own conclusion. But I don't want to superimpose really my story on people. I want them to be in a place where they can see it for what it is. But I will caution that it's going to some degree require some shedding before you read it, because if you're viewing it from the position of the world, if you're like deep, you know, engrossed in the world, you're going to see it from a world's perspective, and you need to see it from a sober perspective, and you will be able to see and get more of what I'm conveying if you're closer to 0 degrees, and you have to read the book in order to know what 0 degrees is.
All right. And we're talking today with Azariah, and we're talking about his book, My Journey Back to Me. My Journey Back to Me by Azariah. And so this is very, 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 very deep. And so you're going to have to really read the book to get an understanding of his journey and the view that he has. So here's the thing. If somebody reads your book, and you talked about this whole concept of being at 0 degrees to really fully grasp this and understand, which chapter in your book would you point them to? If they were only to read one chapter, which chapter would you point them to and why?
I don't remember I just put it in chapter form. I don't remember what the titles were. And I,
here you are.
I would say all of it.
All of it. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. but once I put them up on the screen, if you can see those, if you had to just pick one.
Yeah. Put them up there. Let me, I can't see it.
I'll read them out. We talk about preparation, sought, agreement, conflict, failed, faded glory, forced entry, the process, discovery, a step above, sovereign wellness, seduction, do you, never again. If you had to just pick one of those, which would it be for someone if they were just could only read one chapter?
I would say chapter 2 or 3.
Preparation or salt. Okay.
Yeah, because really, when you start shedding, when you're shedding, you're going to see a lot emerge from you. A lot of us are trying to put things on us, and we're trying to say, hey, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. It's not that. I illustrate in a book about a sculptor. What a good sculptor would do is envision what he wants the final product to be in that tree. There's a large tree, and he doesn't have to add anything to the tree. All you're doing is shaving off every portion of the tree that doesn't belong in order to emerge from the tree what is envisioned in your original thought. So we have all of this in us. We are born with the godness of God within us. People are telling us we have to get the Holy Spirit. If you're not born with the Holy Spirit, then you're never going to get it. I understand where this is coming from. I came from the whole Christian background type of deal, but it's not proven to be so. What's proven to be so is that the sun has always been shining your entire life, if you have, in the sense, the DNA of the Almighty God. The problem is that we're not able to see who we really are because all of the clouds, the dark clouds, are blocking and blinding ourselves from seeing ourselves who we really are, and for those who are onlookers to see the sun that's really within us. But if you remove the clouds and the ways of this world and shed the things that don't belong to what I call your little, that is your 0 degrees, your innocence, then you will discover the sun has been there shining the entire time. That's the spirit of who we are. It's interesting because Jesus was born with the Holy Ghost. John was born with the Holy Ghost, and other people. David, even before Jesus came on the scene, said, cast me not from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me in Psalms chapter 51. So the Holy Spirit has always been in us. It's just that we're acting a fool. So it kind of underscores the difference between doing toe up and being toe up, you know, or doing holy and being holy.
Well, definitely. And so, you know, you and I have had some discussions offline, and we will continue to talk, you know, and hearing that statement and somebody hearing that statement, as they will be doing when they listen to this podcast, they may say, I don't know if he rapped too tight, you know. So, you know, he's saying some really controversial stuff. And I say that, and you know, you and I have talked, but being with those thoughts that people have based upon the knowledge that they have and what they've seen and what they've been exposed to and what they consider to be truth without any validation. How do you maintain your sense of self today in the face of that type of pressure or criticism of your views?
Well, you know, before me, I have not heard that kind of criticism. When I talk to people and people ask me to share this story with them, they just listen. No one is, you know, sweating me about it. And if they did, I would respectfully hear their voice and listen, like really listen to what they're saying and why they're saying what they're saying. Because if what I'm saying is true, it should be able to stand on its own merit without me trying to work the thing. And it is true. And no, I can prove. No. Let it pan out itself. And what I'm finding out in this life is that whatever's on the record is going to play anyway. You know, I say that all of our people, the people who have the fingerprint of God, who was born with the spirit of God, we're going to make it anyway, because Amos 9 and 9 says that God is going to sift the whole house of Israel among every other nation as corn is sifted in a seed, and not the least grain is going to fall. And so all of Israel is going to be saved anywho. So all of this petty stuff that many of us talk about in terms of trying to split doctrinal atoms, if you will, it's like, it's going to prove itself that it wasn't really that important to lose your fellowship with your brother, lose your fellowship with your sister. That stuff, if it's not going to matter later on, it's not going to really it doesn't really matter now. And
what I hear from all of that is that the whole concept of, you know, truth is going to stand on its own. It's truth whether or not you believe it. It exists. It's like principles. They don't change. They are there like laws. So whether or not you believe it, it's going to stand regardless. And that's what I hear from you.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. That is correct. Like if, you know, if people are saying that Jesus died for every one of your sins, past, present, and future, and people are like, I don't believe that. Okay, he still died for your sins. Either he did or he didn't. And to say, well, you know, if you don't believe that, then you don't get the benefit of his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, what about the Son? Didn't God create the Son? Of course he did. So if you say you don't believe he did it, is the Son going to go out? Are you not going to receive the benefits, the vitamin E, the energy, et cetera, the light? No, it's going to stay there. But, you know, when you force something on an individual, that's a type of rape. And I'm into letting people make their decisions based on what they see themselves, you know, because if you keep talking about going back to hell, that seems to be the issue that keeps people in the church. In terms of me talking to many people around the nation, if you take that equation away, then people feel like, I don't need to do anything. I'm just here because I don't want to go to hell. Well, beloved, you're already there. Mm-hmm. I mean, and what we've done is we've used other people's, other individuals' standard to be our standard, those outside of Israel. And we can't use that as a standard for us. We are the special people. You know, we're above all people that are upon the face of the earth, according to the Bible. You know,
and we are,
we're not beneath, we're not equal, but we're above, according to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6.
And I'd love to bring you back to really to dig down into that so that people will get an understanding of your perspective when you say we are Israel and you know, and it's in the Bible, because that's a hard concept for a lot of people to grasp in such a short period of time without walking them through, and so that they can see truth. If I advise everybody to go and get a copy of the book. It's very, very, it's reasonably priced. I will say that. And you can go to the website at penofthecarbonsoul.gumroad.com. And it's there where you can get a copy of it. Let me remove that from the screen here. And so I can bring it up fully. So you can take a look at how you could go about getting a copy of this book. So many things I have to clear from the stage so I can add this to the stage, and there it is. where you can see it on the screen. If you just go to the website, thepenofthecarbonsoul.gumroad.com, and you can see, you can get it in an ebook, and also you can get it in an audiobook, and they're both reasonably priced. And that way you can read it, and then you'll get an understanding of where my friend Azariah is coming from. And you know, time is good. I can't believe we've almost reached an hour of discussion here. I'd like to do this. Your book was specifically written for you, but you've opened it up now to the world so that they can go and read it. If you could summarize your journey in one sentence, what would it be?
I'm totally free. I'm totally free. And also, I wanted to just say to you, Rev, that if individuals want to get the book and if they can't afford it, no problem. I'll get it. I'll make sure you have it. And so just to let them know that. But yeah, I'm totally free. I'm totally at peace with myself. I know that I'm aligned with the Most High. I'm not anti-God. I'm not anti-Christ. I'm not anti my people. I'm just for truth, not my truth, but the truth that does not change. And that's going to remain the same always. That's the only truth I want to be about. Not my little whatever, but I want to be about the truth of the Most High and the truth that I can see that doesn't change. And that's the truth of nature. And I'm really, really good with that.
All right.
I'm not an espouse to any religion. So a lot of people do ask me, am I Muslim? I'm not that. I'm not Christian. I'm not a believer, but I'm not a non-believer. I'm not an atheist. I'm not agnostic. It's none of that stuff. It's just seeing things as they are as a child. I see we're at the end of it. If I can just say this really, really quick. If you think about a child, before a child was introduced to anything, understand that a child has a soul and a spirit. And that spirit and that soul is ageless. It's also sizeless, S-I-Z-E. It's sizeless and it's ageless. If that child was to cross over, die, the first thing we would say is they went home to be with the Lord. Totally agree with that. But wait a minute. That child didn't believe, did not espouse to any kind of spiritual denomination. It wasn't baptized, never read the Bible, never went to church. Never prayed, none of that. So what qualifies that soul, that spirit, to go back without trusting, without accepting? What causes that?
He says, and I don't know the exact verse, but all souls are mine, even the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we don't even own our own souls. So therefore it goes back to who owns it. And so that's what I would say there.
So would that soul go to hell, as people call hell?
Well, not initially. It goes back to where it came from, which was God himself, because he owned it. And that's what I would say now. And I can see your nonverbals, and we're going to have a lot of discussion off air on that one. But that is what I would say. And, you know, Azariah, I am so thankful that we met out in Phoenix earlier this
year.
That
was another landmark in my life that was pivotal. Meeting you made my life more green. You're an extraordinary man, got a good mind, got a good spirit. I connect with you because you're just fertile and real, and I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you too. And so as we close here, I just want to ask, are there any future projects on the horizon for you? And do you have another book? And by chance, if somebody wanted to call you in to speak and hear a little bit more about you, is there a way that they can book you or contact you? Got any speaking engagements?
Yeah, I can be reached at pinofthecarbonsoul@gmail.com. I do seminars like frequently. I help people frequently. I help people also with trust. And I've got another book entitled I Need a Drink. That's a really, really good one. It speaks to who we are as a people, and it gives biblical references all through there. And I mean, if the Bible is your final court of arbitration, if that's your final authority, then you would probably really want to listen to that or watch, read that. And I'm always doing something. I'm always staying busy, whether it's in the United States or out of the United States. There's a lot of other things that I'm doing in terms of business, with my own business, but I'm just staying busy, staying young, staying little, and trying to keep a good mind, bro.
Keep a good mind. And I'm going to stay right there with you so we can talk and go in some deep conversations. And I just want to make sure that email is correct there on the screen, pinofthecarbonsoul@gmail.com. And that's how you can be reached.
Yes, sir.
All right. So if you'd like to reach out to my brother Azariah to come in and to talk, a speaking engagement, or just to get in touch with him, please feel free to email him at pinofthecarbonsoul@gmail.com. And as we prepare to close, my brother Azariah, I'm going to give you the last word. What is it?
Peace.
Peace. All right. He says the last word is peace. Well, my brother, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And even though your book, you said it was specifically for your journey, I am so glad that you came on today to share with us a little bit about your book, My Journey Back to Me, and to show people how they could actually get a copy of your book by just going to pinofthecarbonsoul.gumroad.com. I truly appreciate this, and I look forward to having many more conversations with you and talking with you and getting a little bit more insight, because I will tell you, people, he says some things that, you know, you need to just go back and find out and search. And I'll say it like this: be like the Bereans and just search the scriptures daily. And that way, when you go out and you dig and you deep and you get an understanding, sometimes the things that you learn will cause a paradigm shift, because the truth is the truth, no matter what anybody says. Because it reminds me of my grandmother. She said, right is wrong is wrong, even if everybody's doing it, but right is right, even if you are the only one doing it. And so with that, I just want to say, Azariah, thank you so very much for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are welcome. And you know, my listening audience, you know, I always say this: life is all about purpose. And the question becomes, do you know yours? And I'll throw this in today: not even do you know yours, but do you know who you are? Because that's a question that you have to answer. And like I say always, you know, check me out on the World Wide Web at vincenttedwards.com. And remember, in all that you do, be magnificent. And until next time, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone. Take care, everybody. Guess what? I love you. There's nothing you can do about it.